I'm leaning against the wall like this, can I still be heard?
Do you want that pillow to lean against the wall with?
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I could. I'll sure. Just yeet it over here.
Yeet.
No, well, careful of the
microphone. I won't yeet it into the microphone. Here you go.
Just sort of yeet it.
I'll hand you very nicely.
Yeet it gently toward me.
The cushion.
Okay.
This is a very serious podcast.
I got my tea. I mostly just made this cup of tea for warmth because I knew we were coming down here.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Sorry. No, that was my fault.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Splanknicks. I'm your host, Claire T. Walker. I'm a independent... doofus.
What is your problem?
I'm an independent doofus. Can't figure out what to say.
Well, I did sort of just start the recording without asking you if you were ready.
I wasn't ready. Okay. Hello, everybody. Back to...
Do you want me to do the intro?
No. I'll do it.
Okay. This is gold.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Splanknicks. I'm your host, Claire T. Walker. I am a Gen Xer, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Hello, I'm Hannah Kubiak. I am a millennial.
That's what we're going to be talking about today. For some reason, we decided that, well, it's been entertaining to see our intergenerational banter back and forth as we discuss things, culture, movies, mm-hmm. books, and sometimes our different takes on these things is interesting and entertaining. So we wanted to talk a little bit more about the generations that we belong to, that we grew up in, and just our experiences. And I hope that a lot of you can relate. I'm sure we got a lot of listeners from the various generations. We're mostly going to be talking about Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, a little mm-hmm. bit about baby boomers. Mm-hmm. But I think this will be fun. So stay tuned.
Welcome to Splanknicks, the Society for the Preservation of Literature, the Arts, Numinosity, Culture, Humor, Nerdiness, Inspiration, Creativity, and Storytelling.
Welcome back,
everybody. We're going to get this episode started in a second. Just wanted to let you know that you can contact us at splanknickspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, that's right. We do know our email address.
Our website is splanknicks.com. Mm-hmm. And we have an Instagram, splanknicks_podcast, @splanknicks_podcast. I'm so proud of myself being a Gen Xer, being able to rattle all that off.
Yeah.
Because I'm not native to that whatsoever. Let's start off with talking about the generations, what they are. Demographics is really interesting. Like when and this thing about the generations and the different characteristics. The breakdown that I have used for quite a while is... And I'm going to be proven wrong in a second because we discovered that I've got one part of it wrong. But okay. Let me just go through what I have always had. We're talking about America here.
Right. Yeah. In like Europe and Asia, they have different ones depending upon like cultural stuff. And
right. I think some of it will be very similar because mm-hmm. a lot of it really does kind of center around World War II as a kind of a defining moment of the 20th century.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that happened demographic wise and population wise. Before and after World War II. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so here they are. So what we call the GI generation
mm-hmm.
was born from 1901 to about 1924.
Yeah.
Now, these are the people who suffered through the Great Depression as adults.
Yeah.
And they fought World War II.
Yeah.
Okay? My granddad, your great-grandfather, Stanley mm-hmm. Walker, yeah. was a member of this generation. He was born in 1911.
Nice.
And he fought in the Pacific Theater,
mm-hmm.
specifically Burma.
Burma?
Burma!
Why'd you say Burma?
I panicked!
I didn't know that he was in the Pacific.
He was.
Have you read...
He was in Burma.
Have you read Catch 22?
I have not read Catch 22, but you've told me about it a lot.
There's this doctor who he's always freaking out about how he thinks they're going to send him to the Pacific.
It was not good.
No, the Pacific was awful.
It was awful. When Granddad got back from his stint in the army,
mm-hmm.
he was... Grandma described him as he was thin as a rail.
Mm-hmm.
His hair looked terrible. His skin looked terrible. He looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
He looked awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. So the GI generation, and they are... there's not very many of that generation left.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's treasure them.
Yeah. But they're that generation where they use every part of the buffalo and don't let anything go to waste and mm-hmm. use something until it falls apart. So I'm a caregiver for homebound seniors. Mm-hmm. And there's this gentleman that I take care of who's 98. And so he was actually in the Navy in World War II. And he had this electric razor that it basically had the sort of shaving attachment, and it's on a handle kind of, and you flip the top off of it to like knock out like the hair and the skin cells and stuff, skin flakes. Yeah. And he had been using it, you know, and I'm like, well, yep, he's just shaving, you know. And then one of his sons one time like came over and was like cleaning up the bathroom. And he said, hey, how long has this shaver been broken? And I was like, is it broken? And he's like, yeah, look, if you push this thing down, it doesn't stay down. And I'm like, really? Huh. So we went over to ask him. He's like, hey, Dad, your razor's broken. And he was like, it is? He's like, yeah, here. And he took it and he was like, this isn't broken. And he like closed it and started shaving his face with it.
So he had a way to hold it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he would hold it together. Yeah. And then his son was like, we'll get you another one. We have the money. And he's like, it still works. He's like, nah, I'll get you a new one. And the old man was just like, ha! Give me a new one. So
classic.
Like, I don't need a new one. This one works fine.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So next we have the silent generation. Mm-hmm. One of two of what we could potentially call the forgotten generations in this list I'm going to be reading you here. The silent generation from 1925 to 1942. Mm-hmm. These are the kids who grew up during the Great Depression.
Right.
And their parents fought World War II. And then so they were right in the aftermath, in the thick of some of the worst stuff going on in the United States.
Yeah.
And they're called the silent generation because we literally don't have a whole lot to say about them. They were just the kids of the soldiers.
The kids of the greatest people.
The greatest
in
generation.
Our country.
Right.
Yeah.
The GI generation is sometimes called the greatest generation. Mm-hmm. So my dad's a member of the silent generation.
Yeah.
He was born in 1941. Oh. He was born shortly before my granddad went to war.
That's right.
So and then his younger sister wasn't born till after granddad got back from war. So there's a large gap between, I bet there's a lot of people in my dad's situation. They were born right as their dads went away to war. And then their siblings are born when dad came back to war, if he did.
Came back from war, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my dad's generation. And then the next comes, this is one of the most famous generations. This is the baby boomers.
Yeah.
Now the baby boomers are, they vary between when they start, from anywhere from 1943 to 1946. Mm-hmm. Right around then is when the war was winding down and people were coming home. People came home from the war in earnest in 1946, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they're considered to be early to mid 1940s till about 1960, 1964,
yeah,
right around in there.
Yeah, 64.
Yeah, 64, I think, is about the longest, mm-hmm. is about the latest you could be born and still be considered a baby boomer.
Right.
So they were born during the post-war prosperity. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that became hippies. They became soldiers in Vietnam. They were, you know, the flower children, the war protesters.
Right.
That were
love, not war.
Exactly. There were 76.5 million Americans born during the baby boom.
Oh, wow.
They were, up until recently, the largest population cohort in the country.
Hmm.
They were what I fondly heard described as the pig moving through the python.
Uh-huh.
When you look at a graph of the generations, you'll see, you know, it's kind of a low-level GI generation, low-level silent generation. Then the baby boomers, boom, it just arcs up into this huge spike
in the graph.
It's not so much a spike, but it is a large upside-down U because it extended for many years.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have the next generation, born anywhere from 1961 to 1964. Those are the oldest of this generation, up until around 1981.
Yeah.
This is called Generation X.
Yeah.
This is me.
Yeah.
I was born in 1966, the same year as Star Trek, the original series, by the way.
Hey.
So what the hallmark of Generation X is they're also sometimes called the Forgotten Generation. That graphic that I showed you of that,
That
CBS News special that they did a couple years ago that was all about the generations. And they listed the GI generation, the silent generation, the baby boomers. And then they skipped right to the millennials and then Generation Z.
Yeah.
And you looked at that graphic and you're like, wait a minute, where's Generation X? I was like, yeah. Ding, 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 exactly. We're the forgotten generation.
Yeah.
So we were born and we grew up during a time of enormous prosperity, coupled with a great deal of social upheaval.
Right.
This is when no-fault divorce became a thing.
Yeah.
Our parents got no-fault divorced in large numbers, and we were the first generation of latchkey kids. Mm-hmm. We grew up coming home from school with nobody there.
Yeah.
So we had to get our after-school snacks by ourselves. We had to do our homework unsupervised. We watched a lot of TV. At a certain point, we started playing a lot of video games because video games were invented during the time we were growing up.
Yeah.
Generation X, we came of age at the dawn of the computer age. Mm-hmm. I was just telling you earlier that the kids that graduated from high school when I started, so the kids who graduated in high school in 1981, there's no way those families had a personal computer in their house at the time they were graduating.
Yeah.
They had to typewrite all their school papers.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I graduated from high school in 1984, people were starting to get computers. The Atari was invented. The Apple II had come out.
Yeah.
The Commodore 64 was a personal desktop computer. The IBM was starting to be a computer that people got. By the time the kids who started high school as freshmen, when I graduated, by the time those kids graduated in 1988, we all had personal computers. Mm-hmm. They were big. They were clunky. They were phosphor green screen type things. But they were good. They were used for word processing, and they made typing papers and writing papers a lot easier than it used to be when you had to type it on an actual typewriter. Okay, so we'll talk more about the details of all the technological things that we experienced. The next generation is the millennials.
Yep.
Now, Hannah, this is where we're going to have to, you're going to have to correct me because my list of generations is a little bit different from yours.
Okay.
I think we're going to go with yours, though.
Okay.
I've got millennials going from about 1982 being born till about the early aughts, 2002.
Yeah.
Some of the lists that I looked at even had them up to 2005.
Yeah.
I'm told that's incorrect.
I've got 1977 to 1995.
Okay. So mid-90s is the
yeah.
That's where the
90s kids.
The 90s, yeah. 90s kids. The kid, because you were born in 1993. So
1993, the same year as Magic the Gathering.
That's true. Magic the Gathering was invented that year. So, yeah, so you were born in 1993. That does make you a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that in our family, there's a split because your sister was born in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always thought of her as a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess recently we had a conversation. She's like, absolutely not. I'm not a millennial. I'm Gen Z.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because 1996 is the beginning of Gen Z, and Teresa was born in 97.
Right, right. So the Gen Z, what I had as the youngest of the millennials, actually, but as actually Gen Z, these are the kids whose parents were called helicopter parents.
Right.
If the Generation X, I read, this made me so sad when I read this. Mm-hmm. Generation X was the least nurtured of all the generations.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yep. Mm-hmm. But Generation Z, I read, is considered the most coddled and indulged generation.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah, it's the generation of like the younger children of Gen X.
Yeah.
So like the older children of Gen X were like parent was either divorced or both parents were working.
Mm-hmm.
So
the older kids had to make do.
Older kids made do a little bit more. And then the younger kids.
Younger kids got taken care of by their older siblings.
Taken care of by their older siblings, yeah.
So that's interesting because as an older millennial, you have a lot in common with Gen X.
I'm not an older millennial.
Excuse me.
A younger millennial.
A younger millennial. You have a lot in common with Gen X's, actually, because of, because the thing about the divorce culture.
Yeah.
It's well known that parents who divorced, Children whose parents divorced.
Yeah.
Are much more likely to experience divorce themselves to perpetuate that whole negative cycle.
Yeah.
And that is the story of our life.
Yeah.
You know. So okay, so then we have the millennials, we have Gen Z. What was your birth year breakdown for Gen Z?
96 to 2015.
2015?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I had something called the I generation.
Yeah.
From early aughts, 2002, 2003 to the present. They're the ones that were called the digital natives.
Right.
Okay. Now the thing about, let's back up just a little bit. Generation X came of age at the dawn of the computer age. Mm-hmm. The millennials and Gen Z grew up during the computer age.
Yep.
Like, You can remember a time, Hannah, mm-hmm. before we had certain technologies that are ubiquitous today.
Yeah.
Teresa probably can't.
Yeah.
Your younger sister, the mm-hmm. younger siblings of you millennials probably can't remember this.
Yeah.
So those are the age breakdowns. And I was listening to a podcast the other day, and for some reason the topic came up. Gen Z, or Gen X, rather, because these are millennial guys who I was listening to, and they were talking about Gen X. They said, well, where are Gen X? Where are they right now? And my quip was, well, you know, what did they do, you know? I was like, well, we kind of went to college. We mm-hmm. we got marketable degrees. We got jobs. We got married, and we started raising our kids. That's all we did.
Yep.
That's what we did. And then we kind of look aghast at what has happened to to mm-hmm. the world, you know, yep. since our kids have been growing up.
He was like, here I am, minding my own business. And then
exactly. So, but yeah, we definitely came of age at an inflection point, a major inflection point in the world, which is the mm-hmm. dawn of the computer age.
Yeah.
I wrote down a list of technologies that were invented while I was a child
okay.
and growing up. And this, I don't think this is exhaustive, but it's what I could think of off the fly.
All right.
Personal computers, video games, cable TV, home videotape recorders, personal stereos, like portable stereos.
Like the boombox you would hold up at your girlfriend's house?
Correct. Yeah. Exactly. The boombox that we held up and Say Anything. Yeah. Also the Walkman, the tape player, the cassette tape player that had a headphone jack and you plugged it in. You could carry it around, put it in your pocket, and you could roller skate around your neighborhood with your Walkman on.
Oh my goodness. And we did that. I remember doing that with a CD player, but...
Yeah. By the way, CD players were invented when I was, I think, in college.
Yeah.
In the, mid-80s. The microwave oven, the cordless phone, uh-huh. audio CDs, ultrasound technologies mm. were invented, I believe, in the 80s or late 80s. Dungeons and Dragons mm-hmm. was basically invented in, late 1970s, but me and my brothers, we grew up playing it, the first mm-hmm. generation of D&D. Car phones were invented. The cell phone technology was not good enough to make the thing portable, but you could have a car phone in the uh-huh. 80s. And then, so if you read Ready Player One,
yeah,
I figured out everything in that book because I grew up with all of that.
Yeah.
All that stuff that, you know, all the Easter eggs in the adventure game, mm-hmm. all the riddles about the Dungeons and Dragons, a Tomb of Annihilation or Tomb of Horrors thing.
Oh,
I was like, I read that. I was like, oh, well, that's obvious. It's blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that book was written for me. I quite enjoyed it. How about you? Do you remember things that were invented as you were growing up?
Oh, goodness. I mean, I remember things that already existed, like improving and getting smarter and faster. Like basically I wasn't there when things were invented, but kind of when things were developed and perfected. So I remember when I was really, when I was younger, I had a CD player, like I told you before. I remember listening to audiobooks on my CD player in my room. And eventually I got an iPod. It was, it was like that big, like the size of a mousetrap. And it had to scroll, you would...
Yeah, the thumb wheel.
The thumb wheel, yeah. So I had that. Phones were getting more advanced and stuff. So these things already existed, but it was just... the sort of the time when there's always a bigger better, or in the case of a phone, a smaller better
yeah.
new technology thing. So things are constantly being upgraded, and there's always that sort of thing where it's like, get the latest, mm-hmm. you know, so you kind of always feel like you're behind mm-hmm. if you don't have the latest thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't remember anything new. I just remember that there's always a better iPhone or always a better computer mm-hmm. or...
Yeah, so I was like, my distinction between Gen X, me, mm-hmm. and millennials, you, was that Gen X came of age at the dawn of the computer age, and you grew up during it, mm-hmm. watching everything advance. The Gen Z, the next ones, are mm-hmm. native to it.
Yeah.
They have been immersed in it since birth.
Yeah.
And talk about the thing about the cell phone that you were telling me earlier.
Oh, yeah. And when I was a kid, I didn't have a cell phone until, it must have been the summer before college I got it, because I was going to Ohio.
Yeah, for college. So you needed your own
cell
phone.
So I needed my own cell phone.
Which cell phone did you use prior to that?
Which was a big deal. Okay, prior to that, I would use your cell phone.
The family cell phone.
We had the family cell phone. And if you had a volleyball practice or something, you would bring the cell phone with you so you could call when you were done and get picked up.
And you would call the landline home phone, which still existed.
Yep, you would call the landline.
We didn't even call it the landline. I mean, it was just the phone,
yeah.
You know?
Back then, we actually listened to voicemails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nowadays, you just look, you say, oh, this person called me.
Mm-hmm.
Call them back.
Yeah.
They say, did you listen to my message? No.
I know. That annoys me so much because it's like, you listen to the, here, you'll call someone. It says, please leave a message. Okay, I left a message. And then the person doesn't listen to it.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you even say that? I mean, back when I was growing up, the answering machine, also another piece of technology invented while I was growing up.
Yeah.
It was amazing. In fact, email was invented when I was in college, and it used to be fun to get email. Can you imagine such a time, Hannah? There was a time.
Very vaguely. I remember when I first had email.
It was fun. You were excited to get email. You've got mail. And you're like, yay. And now it's like, you look at the mail and you go,
it says,
I just can't deal with this anymore. And you just turn it off. Email, just don't like it.
I thought I unsubscribed from Swagbucks.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why am I still getting emails from this stupid thing?
Yeah, you know.
But you know what? You know, it's so sad. Email was supposed to be the greatest thing, right?
Right.
Okay. Before email was invented, I used to write letters regularly back and forth with my relatives overseas.
Yeah.
As soon as email was invented and that became a thing you could do, and everyone had an email address.
Yeah.
Basically, correspondence went for a while.
Yeah.
Until people got sick of and overwhelmed by email. And now I do not correspond with my relatives overseas at all.
Yeah.
Not even by email.
Not even by electronic letter.
Nope. I did exchange email with my granddad, the one who fought in Burma.
Right.
I exchanged real letters with him until he just couldn't write letters anymore.
Aww.
Because he didn't take up email or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you could argue that maybe he was better off.
I would love to just not have an email address, honestly.
So you have a beautiful columned list of all the sort of generational things there.
Yes, I do.
And I think it would be fun to to go through there.
How do you think I should do it? Should I go generation by generation, or should I go category by category?
Let's go category by category.
Okay.
That might be sort of more like a compare-contrast kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Okay. So I've put the Gen X, the millennials, and Gen Z all in a row here, and we're going to sort of talk about how they differ from each other in a couple of different aspects. So the first category is tech and entertainment. So during Gen X, tech and entertainment, there was MTV.
MTV became a thing.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Another thing that was invented.
Yep.
The music video.
Yep. There were you two on MTV. Her two kids in high school. They tell her that she's uncool, but she's still preoccupied with 1985. Do you know that song?
I do now.
You've never heard it before?
Is that Weird Al Yankovic?
No.
Oh. It sounded like a Weird Al Yankovic song.
Way before Nirvana, there was U2 and Blondie. Their music's still on MTV. Anyway.
Yeah,
that's what I think of when I hear
music.
MTV.
Well, yeah, I remember when every once in a while, there'll be an 80s radio station on.
Yeah.
And there was one when you kids were growing up, and we used to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I remember you kids being astounded at the fact I knew all of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I mean,
U2
and Blondie and all those groups.
Mm-hmm.
I shudder to think how much radio I listened to back
then.
Yeah. But it was okay, though. I mean, I didn't have a lot of albums because I didn't have a lot of money to go buy albums.
Right.
In fact, my brothers and I grew up listening to Nanny's albums.
Which were records.
Vinyl records.
That's so retro.
We grew up listening to the Beatles and the Bee Gees and Elton John and Neil Diamond and Lionel Richie and the Commodores and Barbara Streisand and what else did she have? But, I mean, it was great because we were kids and we didn't have our own money to buy our own records.
Yeah. Oh, but, that's funny. Okay.
Okay.
Continue. Email. Became a thing.
Yep.
All those things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
VCRs, CDs. Entertainment-wise, well, like you said, Star Trek, Star Wars.
That's right. Gen Z or Gen Xers went to see Star Wars on its first theatrical run.
Yeah. Okay, so tech and entertainment for millennials. Every home had an internet and computer when the millennials were growing up. There was a growth in online... I've written COS. What does that mean? Online companies. COS. Yeah. Reality TV became a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Survivor, right? Was like the first one of those.
I really don't like reality TV.
No, me neither.
It makes me lose hope in humanity. Also, something that I think is kind of funny and is also true, millennials depend on technology, but they don't know how it works.
Yep.
All right, and Gen Z with technology, YouTube.
What year was that invented?
2005.
Okay.
So YouTube, you can access videos online. Amazon became the everything store. It became the place you order things online.
Yeah.
Became that sort of like, you can find anything on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of, or, and then iPhones.
Started 2007.
Yeah, and so there's an app for that.
Do you know what? I remember when Amazon.com was just a bookstore.
Yeah.
In the late 90s.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was really great. I mean, it was fun. And they had a way of getting used bookstores. They had a networking with used bookstores as well at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite an amazing service. And a lot of people really appreciated it. But yeah, it did somewhat destroy bookstores.
Yeah.
Oops.
Uber also in 2009. So you didn't have to have your own car. You could just use rideshare. Social media influencers. And Gen Z, they are, like you said, digital natives. So they know all this stuff. They never had to learn it, really. They grew up with it.
You know what's funny is I remember when the microwave was invented, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the VCR was invented when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My brothers and I, and people of our generation, we were digital or natives to that technology.
Right.
We were the ones who set up the VCR and set up the microwave for our parents who couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, our kids are having to set up our stuff. Like, how do I do this app? I don't understand this. You know, I mean, yeah. I have to ask Teresa and her husband things like, well, how do you do this? How did you set that up? You know, like how to play games over the internet on Tabletop Simulator.
Right.
They totally had to walk me through how to do that because I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Weren't you the one where you couldn't find... You couldn't find a gif, a particular gif from Lord of the Rings of all of them popping out of the snow. So you put it on the DVD into the DVD player, played that scene on the TV and filmed it and sent it to us saying,
yes.
This is me having dug myself out of my house after the blizzard today. And Teresa just sent back a message. Is that you just filming the movie on the TV? And you're like, yeah.
She's like, okay, Gen Xer, you clueless, no tech person.
Oh
yeah,
gosh.
I was like, well, I couldn't figure out how to get a GIF or whatever it is that you kids do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought, well, it's just easier. Well, like the other day, I was trying to find the Frank Sinatra Christmas album on Spotify, right?
Right.
So I'm getting it. I was like, okay, I found all the Frank Sinatra stuff, the Christmas.
Yeah.
Got it to play. I'm like, well, how do I get it to play Jingle Bells, the Frank Sinatra Jingle Bells, the one that is track one on the Frank Sinatra Christmas album?
Yeah.
I couldn't get it to do it, so I was like, forget this. I'm just going to go down the basement, get the CD, put it into my actual CD player, and play it like a normal person.
Without Spotify Premium, even playing Jingle Bells is a struggle.
Yep.
Thinking about coming back to Spotify Premium.
Has all this technology actually helped us? I mean, are we better off? Or were we better off just saying, let's just put our CDs in the CD player one at a time and listen to them?
Well, medical advances, I would say, are a good thing. Technology and being able to communicate with people has been really useful this year when we all had to be in our homes and couldn't go to see each other. But yeah, there is sort of an addictive quality to it that can be kind of detrimental, which we can go into soon.
Okay.
Okay, so the generations are sometimes formed by the major historical events that happened while they were growing up, sort of. So, historical events for you, Gen X, the AIDS epidemic, crack epidemic, the Challenger explosion, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and the Soviet Union collapse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some geopolitical mayhem.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm writing that down.
It was the Cold War. I grew up in the Cold War. Yeah. We all thought we were going to get nuked.
Yeah. Everybody thinks everybody thinks something is going to kill them, whether it be a disease or a nuke or a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Geopolitical mayhem. How do you think that formed your generation?
Thinking that we were in danger of getting nuked at any time?
Yeah.
It may have given people maybe kind of like a fatalistic attitude.
Mm.
Because I think Gen Xers are kind of known for being possibly one of the most jaded generations.
Yeah. Skeptical of the man.
Skeptical of the man and, not necessarily, going to fall in line with everything. Although
we don't need no education.
Yeah, exactly. Leave them kids alone. Yeah, nice. So I think it did have an effect. Although, when you think about it, the fact that we still just got on with our lives and went to college and got marketable degrees and just got on with it is like, well, if we're going to get nuked, I mean, might as well get nuked.
At least I won't have to pay my student loans.
Yeah, whatever.
I sometimes wish there'd be a zombie apocalypse or something so I wouldn't have to pay all my student loans.
People, you know what? I think that the appeal of that type of thing, the zombie apocalypse or the whatever
apocalypse. Maybe not the zombie apocalypse.
Some sort of apocalypse is because people just despair of their current situation. Mm-hmm. And like, I just wish that I would just not have to deal with all of this dumb minutiae of day-to-day life.
Or maybe
anymore.
Just if all of the internet satellites just exploded one day or something.
Yeah. Well, it may happen. But, I mean, you have to make sure that you have adequately stockpiled a lot of food and have the capability of, growing a self-sustaining, fully producing garden in your backyard before you do that, though.
Yep. So,
like a chickens or whatever.
We got to get ourselves a couple of shipping containers.
Yeah, and bury them in the ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
And bury them in the ground and make sure that we have our bug-out vehicle ready.
Our bug-out bags.
Yeah, and our bug-out bags and our toilet paper and I've heard aluminum foil is also very important.
Shelf-stable
food. To wrap around your head. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, the tin foil hat. Yeah, conspiracy theories and things. That was a thing in
when I was believe.
Well, the X-Files is a reason that show was so popular. Actually, and if you want to see the evolution of the cell phone, start watching the X-Files from season one all the way through, and you will see how they just these massive bricks.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's a thing that you can slip very nicely into your back pocket.
Yeah. Wasn't there a one that it was sort of like a flashback episode where it was in the 70s and like Mulder took out the phone and put the antenna up and it was like the size of a brick?
It was the size. Yeah, exactly. It was a flashback. It was funny.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Historical events that affected millennials. 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Economic decline of 2008. Invasion/occupation of Iraq. And just a bunch of school shootings.
Mm. So let me ask you, the historical events that occurred during your growing up, how did that affect you?
Well, the idea that no matter how hard I work, I'm always going to be poor. The idea that people outside of America hate America. Seeing, the self-destruction of our country, basically.
Hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry to be so fatalistic but yeah.
It's good. I mean, these sort of general sort of global impressions, they might not be, they're anecdotal, definitely, but it's possible that if you surveyed millennials, a lot of them would say exactly what you just said.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to people my age. We're all, it might also just be because I'm a theater person and we're all starving artists and stuff, but everybody's just like, yeah, I mean, I would do that, but I'm poor. It's just a thing.
Got no money.
No money. You're always basically it's like never had over $1,000 in your bank account ever, kind of thing.
Okay.
So, historical events that affected Gen Z, sort of like a concern about the whole concern about climate change and global warming and stuff, when did An Inconvenient Truth come out?
Yeah, don't remember. Want me to look it up?
Sure, yeah.
Look at me, Gen X, looking up something on my iPhone.
Woohoo! Check it out. Okay, like we said before, Gen Z, they grew up with the internet. And also, Gen Z people are old enough to remember the election of our first black president.
Hmm.
So,
okay. Inconvenient Truth, 2006.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So sort of, I can't really speak for them, but I mean, I am a younger millennial, so I was kind of affected by these things, too, in my, like, quote-unquote youth, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still in my youth. Well, the election of Obama, first of all, is kind of, it's a big change for sort of, like, equality for people. And, like, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like or what gender you are or something, you can still succeed.
Yeah.
Concern about climate. That I think that that's definitely a thing where you kind of, there's sort of this looming sort of doom thing where it's like, you are bringing about your own doom. Every time you use a straw, you are destroying the planet and murdering a turtle or whatever, you know, like being guilt tripped about a giant global, literally global issue.
Yeah.
You know,
do you think that things like that, that mm-hmm. that global issues,
yeah,
and so many of them, like there's also geopolitical mayhem going on right now,
yeah,
plus all of the stuff, the controversial stuff, whether you believe it or not, about climate, you're mm-hmm. being guilt tripped into believing that, yeah, you use this plastic bag, you're gonna
you may as well go out and shoot a dolphin in the face,
right? Yeah. Exactly. So but some of this stuff is just so, like, for example, there's I heard this talk once about, there's a thing called your circle of interest.
Right.
And then there's a thing called your circle of influence.
Yes.
Now, the greater, I think the more we advance in technology, mm. especially communications technology,
yeah,
the more our circle of interest grows.
Yeah.
And yet our circle of influence necessarily remains still very small. And it used to be that those two things were really more or less the same size.
Yeah.
Right? You have your influence. You have your yeah. a circle of influence that includes your family, your immediate friends, your neighborhood, your school, your region, your town, yeah. maybe your state. That could be potentially a typical person's circle of influence and interest. And then you have some interests that are yeah. national or perhaps global, but maybe a couple of things.
Yeah.
Do you think that the circle of influence staying at a very human scale,
mm-hmm.
and the circle of interest becoming global and huge mm. and literally unembraceable, almost mm-hmm. almost incomprehensible. Do you think that right. contributes to the sort of low-level anxiety that people experience
oh,
these
yes.
days?
Oh, yes. I think so.
Like a background anxiety that everybody has, whether yeah. it's whatever issue you're worried about. Because you can learn about any mm-hmm. any looming catastrophe anywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
And even outside the planet, like an asteroid's coming.
Because you're getting so much input.
Yeah.
But you can't do something about everything. Our capacity for action doesn't really match our capacity for gathering information anymore. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we're trying to collect some water in a cup to give it to someone who's really thirsty, but we're trying to get the water from a fire hose that's mm-hmm. blasting at you.
Mm-hmm. But the fire hose also blasts all the water out of it as soon as you collect it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Pretty much. You've got mm-hmm. a very clean cup, but no water.
Nice.
So, yeah, I definitely feel that.
Mm.
That there's sort of the expectation from the world, from social media, and also from yourself, that your circle of influence needs to be just as big as your circle of interest.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you can't, there's very little that you can actually influence and change.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like a failure because of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Okay, so the last thing I have is like social and political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Gen X, they are kind of like the most highly educated generation of these three. Well, like you said, you went to school and then you raise your families, and so just a lot of geopolitical mayhem kind of looming, but you know, you're still going to get educated while that's going on. The first generation with no fault divorced parents, lots of daycare goers in Gen X. That was kind of
fewer than you would think, though, because no fault divorce sort of thrust the need for daycare on people, but it was Yeah. Not very good.
So maybe just at the beginning. Like daycare in general?
Daycare in general was not very good mm-hmm. because it was not a thing that anyone needed
yeah.
prior to that.
Yeah.
So it was very much just improvised and thrown together how we're going to mm-hmm. care for these kids, you know.
Yeah.
You know, now that, you know, the divorce and they still got school, it's like, oh, I'm at my job, you know.
So Gen X, they are, like I said, considered to be kind of, they're kind of skeptical of the man. They are subcultural and countercultural rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy metal.
Heavy metal. Yeah. Like
punk rock.
Punk rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, oh, it's so cool. Okay. Sociopolitical stuff for millennials. We have a hard time finding full-time jobs. A lot of jobs have been outsourced overseas. So we're kind of having trouble finding jobs now. People have this complaint about millennials where they say, oh yeah, millennials, they, you know, they don't work a 9-to-5. They just have like a part-time job, you know, they're so lazy and all this.
They don't have a work ethic.
They don't have a work ethic. And it's like, well, it's just really hard to find a full-time job because no one wants to hire you full-time because then they have to pay your benefits mm-hmm. and all that. They just want to hire a bunch of part-timers. So you can't have a full-time job, but you can have two part-time jobs that demand more from you than a full-time job and pay you less. And, like, it takes you more time.
With no benefits.
With no benefits. Yep. And you still have to go and, like, you know, I don't even have dental, you know?
Yeah.
Man. I can't tell you. It's been an embarrassingly long time since I've been to the dentist. Like, 5 years since I've been to the dentist.
Well, luckily you've got good teeth genetics.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not from me, by the way. Those are from your dad, I think.
Oh, British people have British teeth. Terrible teeth.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the gig and the side hustle economy is a big thing with millennials. Like for example, right now, I am a caregiver. A freelance writer, a DoorDash driver, and I do sort of like random commissioned art and knitting projects on the side.
And you teach at that theater teaching school.
Oh, that's right. And I teach a weekend class at a theater academy. So that's like six different sources of income that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to keep track of. It's like, which, and then the caregiving, I have different clients. So it's not just one client. It's,
yeah.
I have to go to a different place every day to take care of somebody else.
So yeah, it's really, really difficult to, and all that money that's coming in, you're basically barely getting by.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and so much time and energy and mental energy mm-hmm. and focus has to go towards sorting out where you're supposed to be every time and figuring yep. out your finances.
Figuring out where the money needs to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've had this conversation before with you. I mean, you know, when I was raising you kids as a single mm-hmm. mom, I was a little bit in that situation
yeah.
where, and I was like, it takes so much time and effort and mental power to barely scrape by because
yeah.
you have to plan out which bill am I not paying this month? And uh-huh. then which bills am I paying this yeah. month? And all that.
Which one will I be most leniently penalized for not
exactly.
paying?
Exactly. Your energy dissipates. And when you're in that situation, like, oh, yeah, I can relate to
yep.
you. And
So, yeah, yeah millennials mm-hmm. are the burnout generation.
Mm. Burnout meaning they burn out, like just become exhausted.
Yes, yeah. exhausted.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Financially, physically,
emotionally. As a child of the 80s, burnout has an entirely different definition for me.
Yeah.
Burnouts, when I went to high school, the burnouts were the kids who went out onto the smoking patio and were listening to Led Zeppelin in art class and, you know, wore their jean jackets with the upturned collar even in the middle of winter and drove their beater cars around, you mm-hmm. know, playing their 8-track tapes really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the burnouts.
The millennials, there's a lot of divisiveness regarding fundamental beliefs and values. It's almost a 50-50 divide. Very polarized. There's a lot of uncertainty about what you're supposed to believe and who you're supposed to side with. As a millennial, there's lots of different options and they're all very extreme. And someone's going to hate you no matter what you decide. Also, understandably, the millennials are the most depressed generation. Uh-huh. I can attest to that. Uh-huh. And they are immune to traditional marketing and sales pitches, which I think is very true. That's the one that really clicks with me because pretty much all my life. I've watched commercials and seen ads and stuff, and I've thought, now, what about this makes people want to buy something? Regular sales stuff just doesn't work on us because we like that personal connection, like you were saying a little while ago, about how getting Gen X to come to an event, you just have to put up a poster and mm-hmm. they'll show up.
Yep.
Millennials, they'll just look at the poster and say, no, I don't want to go mm-hmm. to that. But if you personally invite them to go to an event, they'll go.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Socio-political stuff for the Gen Z. They are more accepting of different cultures, sexualities, etc. than previous generations. They are less risk-taking, less church-going, independent thinkers, likely to think for themselves and not believe authority. Hmm. They're in no hurry romantically. There's less in-person contact, and they feel more lonely. They are the loneliest generation.
Mm. Yeah, I think it might be because they're digital natives and they grew up with this handheld device in their hand, basically. Mm-hmm. And we know from all of the research and data that's been collected and studies done that the more time you spend on like a social media app of any mm-hmm. kind, the more depressed and anxious you will be.
Yeah.
It's literally bad for you.
Yes.
What was that quote that I read from? I read this quote aloud to you and you just laughed.
The
Jaron Lanier.
Yeah.
Okay, Jaron Lanier is a pivotal figure in Silicon Valley. He lives in Berkeley mm-hmm. and he is instrumental in basically the invention of the internet.
Yeah.
And Jaron Lanier, and he was interviewed on a podcast that I was listening to. The title of this podcast was called "Was the Internet a Horrible Mistake?" And in this podcast he said, "Well, I'm not anti-Google. I just think their business model and their algorithms are destroying humanity." And I really resonated with that. Is that because I'm a Gen Xer? That I thought,
yeah, yep. Maybe. You say, oh, it's just doom and gloom.
Yeah, we're used to having doom and gloom, you know, yeah. Armageddon hanging over our heads. But yeah, I mean, what I've seen as far as technology goes, like I feel really blessed to have grown up without all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this one documentary, I think it was called Childhood 2.0,
mm-hmm.
which was basically a bunch of people my age, and interviewing them
mm-hmm.
and then interviewing their kids.
Yeah.
And all the parents were basically Gen Xers who said, I'm so glad I did not have to grow up with this stuff, all this internet yeah. stuff, this social media, these phones. Mm-hmm. These are not good. I mean, yes, they have their conveniences and they have their applications and their uses and their benefits, but right. it's bad for my kids and I'm worried about my kids. Mm-hmm. And even the kids were saying, I wish I didn't have this, but I feel pressured to keep up with all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think Gen Z definitely suffers from that FOMO, fear of missing out.
Because there's so much. It's like that circle of interest, circle of influence
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Millennials, I don't know what I don't know what our focus is, really. Because we're not focused at all. Mm-hmm. We got tons of gigs. There's tons of different, like, beliefs, lots of choices. Lots of things going on. It's very scattered. Mm. Very scattered.
Yeah, I think that we were talking about this a little bit earlier as we were just noodling mm-hmm. about this conversation.
Yeah.
I think that my generation is the last generation to grow up and get an education expecting to get a job
mm-hmm.
and stay in that job for decades.
Yeah, see, I don't expect that.
Yeah.
When I get a job, I think to myself, I'll probably be here for like a year.
But the thing is, even our expectations were dashed because mm-hmm. when 2008 hit and
yeah.
everything just went sideways,
yeah.
all the people who had, you know, committed their time and their energy and their commitment to some company or whatever, it just went away and then people were fired like they didn't matter, you mm-hmm. know? And so I think that my generation maybe is starting to embrace the gig economy a little bit more, or this idea that, okay, I got this job. This doesn't mean I have to stay in it for the next 10 years. If the company's yeah. not going to be loyal to me, why should I be loyal to this company?
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean anything to them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just going to have a little bit more of a, you know, every man for himself type attitude and
yeah.
job.
Excellent. Okay.
Well, that was interesting.
One good thing about your generation and one good thing about my generation, because I think that we've been dooming and glooming
okay.
a bit.
Okay. Well, one of the things that got me started thinking about this topic was I saw an article about Generation X, how we used to be called the slacker generation.
Mm-hmm.
But when this pandemic hit, people realize Gen Xers are not slackers at all. Mm-hmm. They are get down to it. They are working. They are mm-hmm. taking care of their aged parents. They are taking care of their teen, preteen, or teenager and college kids. We are working our job. Mm-hmm. We are responsible citizens. You know, we're not slackers.
Yeah.
We are, we bounce back from our deprived upbringing, you know, mm-hmm. right? The least nurtured generation.
Yeah.
And we're doing okay.
Yeah.
And we have a good perspective on, like, we know what life is like without technology, mm-hmm. and we can live without it if we have to.
A good thing about millennials. I have found that millennials, maybe because we are prone to poverty and depression, it makes us very compassionate. Mm. Millennials are a very compassionate generation. We don't call somebody a weakling for asking for help. We expect help from our peers, and we're willing to help our peers as well.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What about Gen Z? Now, neither of us are members of Gen Z, but... Yeah,
let's see. Well, I like that they're independent thinkers. They're not skeptical, but they think for themselves. I think that that's a very reassuring trait for them to have.
It is reassuring, and it's so interesting, and not what you would think. It wasn't until mm-hmm. recently that I realized that you and your sister were not the same generation.
Mm-hmm. And you said now that you know, it's obvious.
Exactly.
Like how?
Well, just because of how much more just natural affinity and facility your younger sister has for these technological things mm-hmm. compared to you, for example. Like, you know, like doing DoorDash and Uber and all that sort of stuff. And, you know.
Well, I'm the one who does DoorDash. I used to be an Uber driver. That was another one of my jobs.
No, I don't mean doing the job, but I mean using it. Like her friend who came to the wedding is like, I'll just get an Uber back to blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, knock yourself out. I don't have any idea how to help you with that.
No, but I wouldn't do that either. Because I'd be like, an Uber? No, that is too expensive.
Okay, so that's what the millennial would say about Uber. Mm-hmm. What I would say about Uber is I can't figure out how to work this app on my phone, mm-hmm. so I'm just going to take a taxi.
Yeah,
or ask somebody to drive me.
Yeah, just go outside and put my thumb out.
Oh no, the Generation Xer. I have my own car, thank you very much. I will drive myself.
Yeah.
Because I worked hard for my car.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the Gen Zer will Uber it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's the differences. So. The Gen Xers drive their own car. The Millennials don't go. And the Gen Zers take an Uber. With that, shall we conclude this exciting conversation?
Yes, let's.
That was so fun, Hannah, talking mm-hmm. about all those generations.
Yeah.
I love how our intergenerational podcast sometimes has these little moments where you can tell there's such a difference between our two generations. But I do love the fact that we're both total nerds, and I really appreciate that about you.
Yeah.
And that you really enjoy the same books and movies and TV shows and different things that I do.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, let's conclude, and we will sign off for now.
Okay.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.